Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. Print Supplies helps save your business time and money.
Hello and welcome along to this week's Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later in the programme, I'll hear from David Broderick, Small Firms Association Director, about its annual survey, which found that small businesses have seen a 44% cumulative increase in costs on average in the past 3 years. Plus, I'll be speaking with Padraig Fingleton, CEO of Donegal Local Development Company, about its recently published annual report. But first up, I've been finding out about a new online business venture that has been set up by a Donegal town-based block layer. It's called Tradeswap.ie. The man behind it is Kieran Cassidy, and he's been telling me more. Kieran, many thanks for joining me on the programme. We're going to talk about Tradeswap.ie is the website. This is a new business venture that you are developing. So, in a nutshell, what's it all about?
Well, basically, it's just a web-based platform where you can log in and swap maybe skills or trades with anybody. I suppose the best way to explain it would be to give you a real-world example. I'm currently doing a self-build in Donegal Town, and as you know, it's expensive nowadays, and it's difficult to get trades. And I had a carpenter in one day pricing work for me, and we got talking, and he was kind of in a similar situation at his own house. He wanted a bit of work done, some block laying, and it's just hard to get money. So we kind of came to the agreement. I told him I would work at his house and do the block laying for him, and he could do the carpentry work at my house, and that I'll basically save us having to come up with the money to pay each other. We just use our time, basically, instead of money. So we swapped skills or trades. So that's it in a nutshell, basically.
So you thought about this and you thought, look, there's probably lots of other people out there who maybe are looking for somebody. They can't get somebody. We live in a sort of particular time at the moment that there is a labour shortage in many sectors, and a lot of people do find it hard to get people to do jobs. So you obviously gave this some thought and decided you could develop this, and ultimately it could become a business for you.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it while I was building the house, and I used it a couple of times, like even with tailors and stuff. Obviously block layers are hard to get nowadays, so it's something that I can offer a lot of people. And I run the idea past a lot of friends just to see, you know, what they reckon, you know, would it work? And it turns out a lot of them have actually been doing that kind of thing with other people. So I had one friend of mine who's an architect. He would just do up drawings for people, and in return he was getting some work done around his farm and stuff. So yeah, I just thought, why not give it a go? You know, somebody might get some benefit out of it, because it is, like you say, it's not only is it hard to get trades, it's also expensive nowadays. So if you're struggling to borrow money or struggling to come up with money, you can always use your own free time on the weekends and stuff to get work done.
So did you initially just do a little bit online through the likes of Facebook, and were you developing the website all the time, or what was the kind of the time frame?
No, I thought about it for a while, and I had a website half built myself, and then I thought if I did get a lot of people on there, if there was glitches and stuff, I wouldn't be fit to manage and cope. So I just thought I might as well do it right if I'm going to do it at all. So I hired a local person to develop the website. It took him about 2 months. And if you jump on it, you see it's very user-friendly. It's easy to use. My mum and dad can use it, which means it's pretty easy to use. So I just thought I'd do it right, do it once, instead of messing around with it. So, and it's there now. It's live for anybody to use. So it's, I think, the goal now to be get as many people on there as possible.
Now, I'm looking at the website, tradeswap.ie. Nice, bright, easy to navigate. Explain to people how it all works. when you go into it and you scroll, this was one of the first things you can see is there's different sections, find swaps, browse all skills and how it work. You can go in and just see what is on offer there, find a swap that you want, and then you agree on the swap and you complete it. And then there's a review process. So as it goes along and over time, that review side of things, I take it, will be very important.
Yeah, listen, when you log on, there's a little bio on there. You tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your background, your skills. And let's say you're a carpenter, you're offering carpentry work, and in return you're looking for painting or tiling. So you just go onto the swaps page and you offer what you have and you tell them what you're looking for. And somebody, then you match with somebody in the site. And when you match with somebody, you can basically go into a direct message section on the site, and you just can nod it out then, how many days can you offer each other. If there's a monetary value, you can work that out too. And yeah, there's a review. Once the swap's done, there's a review, and that's kind of to maybe stop people from trying to maybe take advantage of other people on the site. If you don't fulfill your swap, you'll get a bad review and you won't get used again. So yeah, it's pretty easy to use and it's free to use. So,
and ultimately, it's between the two parties to make their own agreement. You've nothing to do with that. The website's nothing to do with that. The people, when they match up the needs, they come to the agreement.
Yeah, when they match on the site, they can go into a direct message, they can exchange phone numbers, and then that's down to them. It's no different to you or me ringing a contractor to come to your house tomorrow and do a bit of work. It's nothing to do with us. If the job goes wrong or whatever, it's up to you to do your due diligence. So once you match with them on the site and get their details, yeah, you can come and have a talk to them and see if they're fit to do the job or not.
So over time, this could grow. And indeed, initially it may well be trades and manual skills. There may be a lot of property-related matters, interiors, but it could expand and take in all sorts of sectors.
It could be anything. It could be anything at all. Like, to give an example, let's say you have maybe an older gentleman who's living at home alone, and he might want maybe 7 or 8 hours a week of, a bit of home help, cooking and cleaning. And he could reach out to somebody on the site, and in return, he could offer maybe a bit of handyman work around somebody else's house. Or you could have somebody looking for guitar lessons, or if somebody wanted a lift to the airport, somebody dropped to Dublin and picked up a couple of days later. It can be anything. If you have any sort of a skill or a trade, it's not specifically down to construction trades. It can be anything at all. It could be maths, tuition, you name it. If you feel like you have something to offer, you can put it on the site. I think at the minute there's a lady on there offering bookkeeping and admin. There's an architect on there offering architectural drawings. So the list is endless.
And you have put a lot of time, effort, energy developing this so far. Ultimately, you want to get a return from it. So how will you make a revenue stream out of it?
Listen, it's a bit of a long shot. I have put, I work as a block layer here in Donegal Town full time, so I didn't have a whole heap of money to put into it. The website did cost me a few quid. I just thought I'd take a shot at it. If it doesn't work out, it is what it is. But down the track, if I got enough users on it, I could probably run some advertising on the site. The fellow that designed the website said if we do start to get a lot of traffic on the site, there will be maintenance, monthly maintenance. Who knows? Down the track, it could be a small subscription. It could be advertising, but that's a long way to go yet. The priority at the minute is just to get people on there and get them swapping. And it's free to use. It's easy to use. So,
you're from Pedigo originally, based in Donegal Town now, but you were abroad for many years and came back to Donegal not so long ago.
Yeah, abroad for nearly 20 years, a few years in the States, and I was about 16 years in Sydney, and yeah, moved home a couple of years ago.
When you look at this website, have you seen anything sort of like this in the States or Australia or anywhere else?
No, I haven't. And when I come up with the idea, I was scanning. So I was using, well, everybody uses AA nowadays to search the internet. I couldn't get anything like it. So that was kind of one of the reasons too why I thought I'd use it. But if you look back, like I remember growing up in Pettigo 20 years ago, there was 10 or 15 block hours in the town. If somebody wanted a house built, you know, instead of paying somebody, we all went round on a Saturday or Sunday and done what we could on the weekend, you know, and then you'd always get a pull out somewhere else yourself. So I think we seem to have veered away from that nowadays as things have gotten more expensive and, you know, people seem to struggle for time nowadays. So that's kind of why I come up with the site. I thought it'd be a good idea to maybe get back to the old ways. And probably another reason too, you know, you hear all this word of recessions and slowdowns. I think, you know, when it's expensive to build now, and if we do get a slowdown, it could be difficult to borrow money, difficult to get money. And that's where this site would really come in handy for people, you know, instead of having to look for 10 or 15,000 to do something, or even €1,000, you can just use your own skills or your own trades as your payments. I think there's something for everyone on there, to be honest.
So initially it'll be local enough, but it can expand then throughout the country. And just looking at the site, if I was logging on in Kerry, for example, you can put on your location. You can put in also a radius. You could have lots of little communities all around the country doing their own thing. And I'm just using that word community because there's certainly a social enterprise community aspect to this as well, because a lot of people can end up helping each other.
Well, yeah, that's basically what it is. Getting back to basics, the way it used to be. I've decided kind of to launch it in Donegal because I'm from Donegal. But at the minute, anybody in Ireland can log on to the site. But if you're logging on at the minute and you're offering, say, a physical trade like plumbing or electrical, you're not really going to want to travel to Kerry. So that was the priority, was to launch it in Donegal and see if it grew organically. But you can also, you'll see on the site, you can do swaps in person or online. And an online swap would be, let's say, architectural drawings for tech help or website help. So, you know, you can swap with somebody in the other end of the country if you want. Priority at the minute is launch in Donegal and, yeah, get back to basics, get the community to work with each other and help each other out.
So at the moment, you're trying to get the word out there. You've used Facebook. You've got on to local groups, and no doubt you've got a bit of traction already. What's the feedback been like so far?
So far, so good. I think maybe nearly 100 subscribers on the site at the minute. There might be a few maybe a bit hesitant on starting their swaps, but it's very early days. People think it's a good idea. People have said they'll use it. They have said they've done things like this in the past. So they've done it maybe through Facebook pages, but this is a bit more precise for them, so it's a lot easier to use.
With regard to your own time, will it take up a lot of your time, or is the site built in such a way that a lot of the stuff will sort of happen automatically and you don't have to be directly involved?
It will take up a bit of time. There's always little things, little glitches you have to maybe keep an eye on. I do have a local man as well who built the site. He is keeping an eye on for me for now. I will put a bit of time into maybe getting it out there, travelling around a wee bit and showing it to people. But for now, it looks after itself.
And if people want to find out more about it, just log in, tradeswap.ie.
Yeah, tradeswap.ie, and we're on Facebook as well. There's a few little videos or reels on how the site works and how to use it. So, yeah, you can get the website or the Facebook page.
And that was Kieran Cassidy of tradeswap.ie. Small businesses have seen a 44.4% cumulative increase in costs. That's on average in the past 3 years. Now, that's according to the Small Firms Association's annual Small Business Survey. And it certainly throws up some headline-grabbing figures. Well, to join me to discuss the report in a little bit more detail, Small Firms Association Director David Broderick is on the line. David, looking at this report, a number of things stand out, but essentially that tough climate that small businesses are facing at the moment, well, this report lays it out in pretty stark terms.
It does indeed, and thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to our Northwest members. It does. Look, this is our third year doing this survey in the Small Firms Association. And although the The headline figure for this year increase in costs is 10.9%. When you take a step back and look at the cumulative figure over the last 3 years, as you mentioned there, 44.4%. It's just astronomical and, quite frankly, unsustainable. In terms of those particular details, it won't be shocking to most of your listeners that employment costs are top of the list. We certainly, with the introduction of auto-enrollment, that is coming out clearly through the survey as an added cost. But what's interesting is energy is second on the list, which isn't surprising in the current climate. But if you look at the next four topics, you know, the four items itemized, it's insurance costs, raw materials, fuel costs, and property rent, leases, and mortgages. But they're all up around 37 and 39%. So it just goes to show you, it's not as if there's one cost out in front. Small business owners are taking this from every angle, regardless of the sector that they're in. You know, regardless of the business that you're in, you're going to be touched by those six costs in total.
Absolutely. And we look at the headline inflation rate, it's what, 3, 4% or thereabouts. And yet these percentages that you're talking about, even if we break them down into a single year, way ahead of inflation. So who's taking the hit here? Are small firms absorbing an awful lot of that increase that it seems they're not passing on those added costs?
You see, depending on the sector that you're in, we mean the small firms across sector, but it's depending on the sector that you're in. It, you know, some have, like, if we lurch from crisis from COVID to energy to tariffs and now to the war in Iran, you know, although small businesses are adaptable, they kind of went through these adaptations. You know, they cut back on the hours, they looked at different suppliers. The problem that you're at right now is they've nowhere else to go. If they can pass on to consumers, they will. But unfortunately, at this stage, and the members that we're talking to, they can't pass on any more to consumers or they will lose their consumers and therefore their sales will be down. So the real hit is being taken on margin. And that margin has disintegrated, certainly over the last couple of years, regardless of the sector that you're in. Yes, the experience economy, retail, they are on the front line. And as I said, when the first year the survey came out, they were the canary in the mine in terms of where this is going. And unfortunately, we're at that now. There's no one who's oblivious to it or say, you know, who gets to avoid it. But I think if you look, a lot of the employment costs in particular are a particular bugbear because they are, you know, the external factors that I've talked about are not in our control. And, you know, unfortunately, such is life. But the frustration amongst our members in the SFA is that the employment costs are state-imposed costs. And that's not to say that if you take the minimum wage, for example, you know, the small business owners know how important their staff are to their business. They want them to do well. They want them to pay them well. But the minimum wage has gone up 40% since 2021. And I suppose a lot of our members would be most affected to those who are on minimum wage. And again, I want to point out, it's not the minimum wage that's the issue, because small businesses tend to have to pay slightly higher in order to attract talent and from the larger companies. But what really hits our members is the knock-on effect of the chain. So if the minimum wage increases, you do have everybody else coming and looking for the same increase right the way up the chain. So that's where we're seeing a real, real pinch point.
And this is at a time when there is a labour shortage in many sectors, which is also going to drive up wage costs. Just looking at the survey, interesting to note that it comments on cash reserves. This is many small businesses are certainly using up what little stockpile was there before.
Absolutely. Last year, when we looked at the finance section, we were really quite surprised to see that for those who are going looking for debt, and I'll talk about that as an issue in itself in a minute, but for those who are looking for debt last year outside of the pillar banks, the next place they were getting at 20%, they were getting it from family and friends, which is a real shocking ticker for us. That now in this 2026 survey has died off. That figure has gone down. So those family and friends who did have the cash reserves, whoever these mythical people were who had a bit of cash certainly set aside after COVID and were able to loan it to, you know, to the small business owners within their family, that has died out. Cash reserves themselves have certainly run down within companies, and the cash buffer that was there has evaporated. And again, going back to the start of my points, if you're looking at increased costs across labour, energy, insurance, raw materials, fuel, it's not surprising, unfortunately.
Yeah, and getting access to short-term finance, a large percentage are saying this is quite difficult or very difficult.
Only 1 in 5 are going looking to take out debt. And I think that's quite shocking. I think we have we've a cost of business crisis, yet they're not going looking for funding. And that really opens up another question in terms of why not, and why do they find it so difficult, or what is their perception? Debt, I think we have a fear of debt since whether it be the last crisis or whatever periods, depending on your sector. But taking on debt and the right level of debt for your business at whatever stage of growth is a good thing. But this survey is telling us that we are quite risk averse when it comes to taking on debt, and that's certainly not good for expansion, for growth, and for Ireland Inc. But back to your point, yes, it's the short-term capital of those that are looking for for money, and that's just to keep the lights on and to keep things ticking over. That's what it's saying to us.
So, David, looking forward, the Small Firms Association, what would it like to see? I presume some sort of targeted reliefs would be high on the agenda.
When you've hit the nail on the head, the word is targeted supports. A lot of our members, well, some of our members are clinging on with their fingernails for the VAT reduction to come in on July 1st. That will be a welcome support for those who can avail of it. But unfortunately, that's about 25% of the businesses. What we're looking for in the SFA is let's make sure we support the other 75% of small enterprises. So there's a couple of things that will be coming out in our pre-budget submission, and we've already been lobbying government since last year on this, but certainly we cannot see a further increase in the national minimum wage. That just can't happen anymore. This is not the time. As I said earlier, you know, there's been plenty of increases. I know we're moving towards the living wage, but this is not the time to add another self-imposed, if you like, from our government cost on business when we have all these external factors. It's just not going to be acceptable. That comes out in the survey. From Budget 27, targeted support to put money back into the small business owner's pocket. We have a lot of recommendations in our pre-budget submission around tinkering with the tax system in order to make it more efficient, i.e., you know, our suggestions aren't going to break the bank of the exchequer, but they will provide some relief to the small business owner. And also the SFA sits on the Cost of Business Advisory Forum that the government set up. And we've spent a lot of hard work on that report, looking at where we can reduce costs around energy, around insurance, around property costs. So what we would like to see when that report comes out, we would like to see speedy implementation of the recommendations within that report to support this essential part of society, which is the small business owners that keep the life in our towns and villages, which is essential.
And finally, David, there are certainly an awful lot of challenges out there, a lot of companies under a lot of pressure, but overall, can you be fairly upbeat about the future for Ireland Inc., that there are a lot of new businesses coming on stream? We are in a relatively good place vis-a-vis a lot of our European neighbours, so there is some degree of optimism at the same time.
Absolutely. And look, I suppose we do tendency to focus on the negatives because it's such a large cohort. There are small businesses who have adapted and changed over time, who are thriving. There are those businesses who have taken on the digital change, looking towards AI to make things more productive. Long may it continue. I would say we aren't in too bad a space, as you pointed out, in terms of the money that's there in the economy. We just needed to put it to good use. And look, small business owners are a resilient bunch. There's a lot of viable businesses at the moment, but they are vulnerable, and we need to do what we can to support them.
And that was Small Firms Association Director David Broderick, and that Small Firms Association annual small business survey was conducted nationwide by Amoroc, with more than 400 small businesses surveyed. Join me again after this short break when I'll be talking with Padraig Fingleton, CEO of Donegal Local Development Company, about its annual report and also the role that it plays in the county.
Business Matters is brought to you by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. With 21 years in business, Print Supplies helps save your business time and money. Email sales at printsupplies.ie to find out more.
Welcome back. Earlier this month, Donegal Local Development Company launched its annual report for 2025, and in many respects, it gives a real snapshot into the organisation's work and indeed how it touches directly or indirectly into the lives of so many. Well, Padraig Fingleton is the CEO of Donegal Local Development Company, and delighted to say that he has joined me on the programme. Padraig, the Donegal Local Development Company, or DLGC as it's often referred to, has just reported a very productive year. But before we look at that, maybe I can just ask you to briefly outline what the role of DLGC is and indeed how it has evolved over the years.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me on. Yeah, we're a development company, and there's similar to, I suppose, the local authority. There's one in every county. Larger counties, there might be two. And in that particular case in Donegal, there's ourselves and Inishowen Development Partnership. And what we deliver is national programs around community development and social inclusion initiatives. And rather than, I suppose, one size fits all and it being dictated out of HQ in Dublin, the thinking is to give the funding down into the counties themselves and get the relevant stakeholders around the table and let them decide, you know, where the investment of the resources should go to meet the specific challenges that are there in the county. So we've a very good board. We've 18 or 19 directors on it. Paul Hannigan is our chairperson, and we have representatives from state agencies and from communities. We also have them from statutory organizations and social partners. So we have a wide breadth of, I suppose, insight with regards to what's happening on the ground in communities. Our two areas, Chris, that we would, I suppose, concentrate on would be supporting people towards work or into work. And then the other side of the house, a huge amount of work supporting the community and voluntary sector itself within the county and those community groups that are in every parish and every community and every village across the county.
Now, you play a very important role in the social and economic development of the county. You're involved in all sorts of projects and programs and training. And if we just look at the annual report, you know, some of the figures certainly leap out. For example, 422 people supported in full-time, part-time and self-employment. And also, very significantly, more than 2,400 people supported in accessing accredited training workshops and soft skills training. So you are affecting an awful lot of people in a positive manner.
It's a real pleasure of ours to have been able to support those numbers of people over the last 12 months of 2025. We would work in the main with those that are long-term unemployed, those that are living in disadvantage and social exclusion, such as people with disabilities, people from the Roma and traveller community, early school leavers, to name but a few. And I suppose our role is to support them in overcoming their barriers and trying to present to them as many opportunities that we can as sort of as a way forward. So I suppose we would go on a journey with them. We would go on a journey from, you know, exploring their strengths, exploring their talents, trying to build on them then through maybe personal development courses, some what we would call lifelong learning. There might be some accredited things like manual handling skills, HACCP skills, just going on the journey where maybe seeing a job then, helping them complete the application, filling up a CV, getting ready for the interview and so on. So it's a journey that we go on, and it's very, very much what we would call client-led. They're leading us, and it's our job to sort of get in behind them and support them. We'd also work with employers as well and kind of understanding what their needs are, what vacancies that they have, and in some cases as well, building pathways with them, and I suppose for people to go on that journey into employment and in their particular sector. And finally, we have a wonderful interagency ecosystem in Donegal. So, and that really stands to us all, where I suppose we're able to signpost and refer to the people that we're working with into other agencies that are working in the area, in particular around education and training.
One wonders, where would the county be if there wasn't Donegal Local Development Company there? Because in some ways you're a helping hand, you're filling that gap, you're bringing people together, you're working with other organisations. And just looking again at the report, €3.4 million invested through 17 programmes that delivered local initiatives, things that have been identified by communities. Maybe you can give us sort of an example of some of the sort of programmes that you are involved in.
Yeah, and I suppose no more than we were talking earlier about things being client-led, is when the community side of things very much, again, community-led. And I suppose community leaders coming together and identifying something in their community, maybe it's a barrier to overcome or bring in some new opportunity into the community. And our job is just to get in around them and support them in any way we can. A lot of cases it's around just getting set up, and I suppose that governance side of things, getting a bit of structure and getting some maybe committee skills and some little policies and procedures so that they're well run, so that there's trust within the group and there's also trust within the community that they're serving as well. We can support them as well around seeking funding, filling up funding applications. Many can be complicated, many can be online, and it's, I suppose, our job again to just again get in behind the group and support them. Two other areas, I suppose, would be supporting them through the volunteer centre. As groups get set up, they're looking to try and bring others on board and getting diversity on their boards and getting other perspectives from within the community. And I suppose trying to understand what they need and maybe what skills might be good to have on their committees, and then trying to reach out and attract those to come on to the committee, and recruiting them and inducting them and retaining them over a period of time. And the last area there is around building networks. And we were asking for some examples there. I suppose we'd referenced it in our annual report around how our Donegal Food Response Network has gone from strength to strength over the last 2 to 3 years. We now have 21 food hubs around the county. And I suppose they're coming together as a network. They're learning from each other. They're growing together and they've got a collective voice. And we're able to provide maybe some training for them as a collective group. We'll also draw down some funding, but more importantly, probably connecting them to a national sort of position as well, and linking in. As we're very proud of the development of the Growers Project, which is, for those that might know, the Food Cloud, a national organisation, and linking in with them in trying to set up sort of, can I use the word, supply chains around access to fresh vegetables. Where there's excesses there, maybe within the agriculture sector or within businesses, where there are surpluses there, and how do we channel those into the food hubs and then into those families that are in deserving need of them.
And Padraig, no doubt, as things evolve, Donegal Local Development Company, you have to move with the times, you have to adapt, you have to take on board what's happening at grassroots level. And in that sense, I know DLDC in 2025, you commissioned a number of pieces of independent research in relation to programmes and supports. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, the first one was around, I suppose, going out and interviewing and meeting those in our new communities and understanding what life has been like for them coming to Ireland and integrating with our services, be they the schools, be they with health, be they with social welfare, to name the housing, to name but a few. And then I suppose their inclusion as well into our communities. We would notice that, I'm sure a lot of us have, there's huge numbers of new communities volunteering at the moment, which is fantastic, and getting them involved and showing how they can contribute towards our society and towards our community. But I suppose that helps, I suppose, raise their profile and get an understanding about what they're bringing to the communities and just the importance and how healthy it is to have diversity in our community. So getting the feedback for them, and I suppose what we do when we get the feedback then from the communities, we adjust our resources, we adjust the initiatives that we have to make them as appropriate, as applicable for those that are availing of them. English language is a big challenge at the moment for many. Many, I suppose, just being included, but also seeking employment as well. So we'll be running a lot of, quite some organisations like DTV, we're running sort of quite kind of formal sort of training programmes in the area. We'd be trying to run more sort of informal sort of training and trying to adapt it within sort of you know, timelines that would suit those particular new communities. They might be, you know, adapting for around transport barriers or childcare barriers, to name but one or two.
Is it fair to say that community-led development is getting a higher rung on the priority ladder? And in that regard, no doubt you'll be hoping that there'll be additional funding for you as we go ahead.
Okay, we would believe it. And the leader programme that we have will be very much what we would call community-led. It's just so important for us that, you know, agencies and support organisations kind of come and go for communities, but the communities are always there, and we always have a line that communities know best what's needed in their community. And we very much are support, rather than doing onto a community, that you would work with them. And we have this phrase of building their capacity and building their confidence and their skills, that they're able to sort of deliver on what their dreams and aspirations are for the community. And that funding and that approach, I think, has stood to us, in particular under the LEADER program, but just across the community development sector, where communities really feel they have ownership about what's happening in their areas.
Padraig, you have a strategic plan which will basically outline the path forward.
Yeah, we're hoping to release a plan in early 2027 for the next 4 or 5 years. And so we're going on a journey now over the next 6 months to go out and listen and understand what the needs are in the community. How do we need to pivot? How do we might need to adapt? And I suppose, thanks for the opportunity, I suppose, to just share that we'd love if people from, we're knocking on your door over the next while, and there will be engagement around surveys and the like, that people would engage and feed into those asks that are there. We're very much community-led organisation. What we hear back, we will do our level best to try and direct the resources towards those needs and challenges that are there in communities across Donegal.
For people who maybe aren't overly familiar with Donegal Local Development Company, and maybe they want to find out more, they might have heard you say something there that they've picked up on. How does somebody go about contacting you, and what would you encourage them to do?
Yeah, well, we've a number of offices throughout the county. Our sort of main three are in Letterkenny, in Donegal Town, and in Bombeg. And we have a website, and I suppose we're pretty strong on social media as well, with Facebook and Instagram. But I think in the first instance, it's making that telephone contact with us and booking a quick appointment to come in and talking to us. And we'd be absolutely delighted to help in any way that we can.
And just to point out, there are a considerable amount of supports there, be it financial or mentoring or coaching or training. So, you know, come along, and no question is a silly question.
Absolutely, absolutely not. And as I said, our job is to, I suppose, to try and find the answer, or have the answer, and if not, try to help them find the answer. And back to our early comes around that strong interagency that's here in Donegal, that those connections are so strong. So as I said, if we can support very quickly, we'll be hopefully able to signpost you on to those that can.
And that was Padraig Fingleton, the CEO of Donegal Local Development Company. Well, that's it for another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. Thanks for tuning our way. I hope you have a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Principalis Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Principalis keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. Print Supplies helps save your business time and money.